IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. I'm Ata, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Brother Habib and Sayyid Mohsen. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
I'm Brother Habib Zata, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So I want to discuss an important topic for today's discussion, a really interesting one. Thanks, Brother Mahmoud, the producer of this program, for selecting such a topic. Islam and human rights, clash or compatibility. Some Muslims, according to their own personal or sectarian interpretations, define human rights in their own viewpoints, and then they find this chance, or it's better to say mischance, in order to pose it on the lives of the others. And we can't say violate human rights in general by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by the name of Islam. I think this is the wrong side of the pole too, isn't it? I mean Islam. I mean on the extremist point of view.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, when we look at the Islamic perspective, obviously everything is clear in the Quran and in the narrations. But on the other hand, we see that even in the, if we regardless being a Muslim or non-Muslim, we see that there are many people who, you know, use these rules for their own sake, for their personal desires. And they say, like, because this is in the law, or it's in the, you know, it's been described in the rights or human rights.
Yes.
So we have this in everywhere in the world. You know, why today the Zionist regime is occupying the Palestine?
Yes.
They say it's their right. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, people are saying, like, this is occupation.
Okay.
On the other hand, you know, you see that people, like, the rights of the blacks are not being seen in
yes.
the, you know, in the U.S.
Yes.
And they were, you know, the racism is there.
Yes.
So we see that, but they never put the name of religion on it.
Still, I think when we talk about human rights in Islam, we are talking about the human in the something very much metaphysical, isn't it? I mean, we are talking about the best creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth, a person whose talents, powers are, we can't say, limitless.
The person, when you say, first of all, when you say the best creature on earth, you mean to say is that they have the capability of being the best creatures
no,
on earth.
No, I mean, when we are talking nowadays, when we talk about human rights in Islam, from both the Western world and the Eastern part of the world, in order as a reaction or as an answer to the doubts, we are very much talking about the capital punishment, women's rights, or something like that, which are defined by modernity.
Yes.
But when we are talking about human rights in general, as the best creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now the game is changed and the rulings are changed.
That's what
it?
I said at the beginning of the show.
Okay.
I said that we have to look at this as the rights and rules and regulations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places are not only for this life,
mm-hmm.
but these rules and regulations also has an eyesight to the mm-hmm. afterlife.
Okay.
It's also considering the afterlife as well. It's not only looking at this worldly materialistic world, rather it's also looking at that, you know, spiritual aspect of the human beings.
That's right.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, one of the rights, as stated in Husalat al-Huquq by Imam Sajjad alayhi
yes.
salam, is the rights of your own body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The rights of your body has yeah. rights over you.
Do not
you.
Harm it, that's right.
Do not harm it.
Yes.
And one of the ways of harming it, for example, is drug intake. For example.
Yes.
For example, drug intake.
Drinking alcohol,
right. For example. These yes. things, they bring you satisfaction. Some English people, I know this because, you know, English people love to drink in pubs.
Yes.
They state that a thing that should be a right for human beings, I've seen them joke about it, but mm-hmm. I think that really is coming from their inner self, or their mm-hmm. inner conscious, is that there should be rights for human beings about drinking beer. Beer should be free for everyone, right? And that is coming from their joy. Their mm-hmm. satisfaction, their desire. It's not coming from really looking at the human being, like how you stated in this,
yes.
you know, this in the spiritual aspect, that
yes.
there is something else other than this worldly matter that we must, you know, keep in mind about. And the reason why we emphasize, we talk, unfortunately, like how you stated, we
yes.
talk about the practical appliances about
yes,
human
yes.
rights. Like, is this a human right or not? Let's talk about it generally. First of all, does Islam accept the fact that there should be rights?
Yes. You know, when you look at the history of America, for example, up to 60, 70 years ago, they burned the Negroes and the black people alive on the street They beheaded them. Even they were separate. There was no talking about human rights. And after that, some great figures.
Till this day.
You know, I know it was the worst time of the human history in the past. And especially the women's rights were not at all observed by the history of the Western world.
Even the feminist movement was politically biased.
Yes.
It wanted women to vote. Why? Because people who thought that they could gain the votes of women could win.
Mm-hmm.
And the first generation, the second generation, the first wave, they call it the second wave, and we're currently living like the third wave.
Neo-feminism,
yeah,
that's right.
And at that, you know, when you look at these movements, they're moving for political reasons, for desire reasons.
Okay.
This woman doesn't want to wear this because she wants to be free and liberal for this. A Muslim, when he looks at his religion, he knows that there is no such thing as liberal. There is no such thing as being free. You're always a slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You always accept the
laws of Allah.
I have Malcolm X, because, you know, when he was starting his movement in the U.S., he was after black nationalism. After he converted to Islam...
Islam is a very, you know, critical...
No. After he converted to Islam, he went to Hajj. And
he changed his Islam view.
He changed the black nationalism. Said, I was after a wrong movement because black nationalism is something like...
That's the nation of Islam. The nation of Islam that he was attributed with. They're the ones that killed him.
Yes. Killed him, that's right.
They're the ones that martyred him at the end of the day. So I think that we should accept this. That if you believe that there's a creator...
Yes.
And this creator is almighty and he has authority over you and he's the one that regulates... and gives guidelines, then everything that he brings up is going to come out of wisdom, and you should accept it. I mean, you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you, yet you do not accept that he's the one that gives hijab, and you have problems with hijab, for example.
Yes.
This is for Muslim women.
This is another, you know, criticism from the Western world too, that you are limiting the rights of the women
in their eyes. I'm not going to say that. It might be in their view correct. When we're looking at the worldly view, the way that you look at the world, when you look at the world as something that you should be free, this is the goal of creation, and I'm going to tell you, you're right. But accepting your basis, but who says your basis is right?
Mm-hmm.
Your base of view is wrong. Your ideology is wrong. Change your ideology. I accept it, no problem. I don't defend it in a way that, for example, hardship for a woman wearing hijab. Wearing a hijab is hard for women, and we have the sayings, the struggle, jihad.
Yes,
the struggle of women actually is wearing hijab, is actually obeying their husbands and staying at their homes, and you know that's their struggle.
As the famous
sentence, struggle something else.
As the famous sentence, hijab is a protection, not a limitation, isn't it?
What?
Is that the famous sentence that says hijab is a protection, not a limitation? There is a famous Lebanese scholar by the name of Edward Said. He has a beautiful book called Orientalism. I don't know, have you ever read this book or not? Edward Said, Orientalism, you know. In that book, he says that sometimes the Eastern world, the Muslims and the Arabs, are believing the pictures that is given by non-Muslims.
That is true.
And non-Muslims on the Western parts as barbaric, backward, and people like this and like that. And this picture is now in the minds of the Muslims and the Arabs in the eastern part of the world. So they are acting according to what... And that is a really, really beautiful book. I mean, one of the most outstanding critical thinkers, Muslim critical thinkers of modern age, is Edward Said, the book Orientalism. I really invite a dear listener to read that in English. It's written in English too. Okay, but... Let's look at the dark side of the religion now. Somebody may say this is political or this is the play of the West or something like that. But still, we got so many people inside the Islamic communities who are accused of extremism and violating the rights of human beings. Sayyid Mohsen, what is wrong with them?
Well, obviously, we see that there are many people who misuse.
Yes.
The things, and they try to use even the Islam for their own personal cause. And whenever this thing happens, we see all these things. And that's why, you know, Islam has made adl, justice, as one of the, you know, features of a leader. It has the conditions of becoming a leader. Taqwa is one of the conditions, you know, having basira, the inside. These are, you know, the things that are said in the Islam. And on top of that, if you want to be the leader of the Muslim Ummah, obviously, the state of the Imam or Khilafat, there is an infallibility as well. Why all these things are there? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said prophets from his side? Mm-hmm. And although he has raised them from the people,
that's right.
But that was the most pure, we can say, like person in that society, in that community, who was the most pious, God-weary.
Okay.
He was observing the justice, and Allah made him the prophet and not the others. You know, in the Quran, we have many verses where the people, like they used to, the chiefs of, you know, the nations of many prophets, they came and they said, why Allah did not choose one of us?
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, you know, Quraysh came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, like, why Allah did not selected one of us? We are the chiefs, we are running the, you know, the tribes and all those. But the criteria in the eyes of Allah is not the becoming the chief.
Yes.
Why? Because you should not, you know, use religion for yourself. And that is the worst case.
That's right.
Imam Khomeini, you know, in his book, Jihad Akbar, the greater jihad, he has mentioned that even the scholars, Islamic scholars, if they did not have done the tazkiyah, if they have not purified themselves, and they, if they go to the society and they try to preach Islam, you know, this is the worst thing that they're doing in their life.
That's
because
right.
they will change the society into a worse thing. So that is the reason, the main reason that we can say, like,
I mean, personal
see,
interpretation yes. out of the religion.
Why? Because there is no tazkiyah, there is no God-fearing. The things are not taken from the original source.
Mm-hmm.
And this was at the time of the Prophet and at the time of Aima alayhi salatu wa
salam
as well.
Right. The extremists.
You know, why Yazid was, you know, on the, you know, he had the throne. Why the, you know, we have, we see Banu Abbas ruling the Islam. This was all for their own personal desires. You know, Aima was, you know, they were left over, obviously they were on a side.
Yes.
And they never allowed them. There was a time when Imam Kadhim alayhi salam was in prison for many years.
Yeah,
you know,
the basic human rights were neglected.
So
that's
why it was? Okay. Because the right people were not those who deserved this, you know, we can say like state, they were not given. Similarly, we can see like Ali Saud, for example, nowadays they're killing the Yemenis, you know, innocent people. Why they're doing this? Why we see like
why the
Arabs,
Russians are killing?
Why Arabs are, you know, making relation with the Zionist regime, the those who occupied the, you know, Palestinian lands. There are many, many things. When you look into the main aspect, it is because, you know, they are not following the true teachings of Islam. And on the other hand, you know, there was a thing, I just remembered of a saying of Imam Khomeini, like, you know, a guy went to the Imam Khomeini and he said, like, we have found a scholar wearing, you know, this turban and this, this cloth that the Shia scholars, they wear. We have found him. We have a scholar who is a thief.
Mm-hmm.
And Imam said, don't say that the scholar is a thief. Say, thief have worn
a scholar's
dress.
Right. Yeah.
And he entered into the you know, the gathering of the scholars.
That's
so
right.
This is the same is the case. We see many Muslim leaders in today's world who are ruling the countries, but they never, you know, follow the justice.
Mm-hmm.
They never give importance to the human rights.
That's right.
And this is because, you know, these thieves have become the leaders of the Muslim Ummah, whereas are not the leaders as they should be.
That's all right. Okay. Thank you very much for your presence in the program, Habib and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi.
You're welcome.
The program Viewpoints is very kind of you. And thank you much. Dear listeners, for listening to us. Another episode. God bless you. Fi amanallah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in life, a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life, but you know I don't need. be my way. No, I